Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. Now, the Military Wives Choir is a registered charity and network of now 76 choirs in British military bases across the UK and overseas, bringing women in the military community closer together through singing. With over 2,500 members, the Military Wives Choir network is a tri-service, so that means it involves people from the Army, the Royal Air Force, the Royal Navy, and the Royal Marines. And any female or anybody who identifies as female with a military connection can join, including those currently serving, i.e. veterans, mothers, sisters, and daughters, empowering women from across the military community. And I didn't know that Cosford, RAF Cosford, has a Military Wives Choir, and on the line to tell me more about this from the choir is Faye Widra. Good evening, Faye.
Hello.
Thank you very much for joining me. Faye, first of all, tell me, what is a Military Wives Choir? Let's get this down to brass tactics.
Well, a Military Wives Choir is a choir which supports military women across the whole military community through singing. Our motto is sing, share, support. And that is exactly what choir is. You know, I often say we're a sisterhood. And it is. There's so much love and joy that the choirs bring to each other. We all understand how every one of us are feeling. Being, you know, military spouses, it's often, it can be lonely, It can be frustrating, and it can bring anxiety. You know, always that dreading if the door's going to knock.
Yeah.
You miss the men when the men are away. And so when you come to choir, you forget about being a wife, a mother, a daughter or a sister, and you're just you.
Why did you join the choir? What was your experience that led you to joining?
Well, I'm from a performing arts background. I graduated from university, met my husband, had a baby, settled down, and all of a sudden that network was taken away from me. You know, my friends at uni performing, being on stage. And I felt quite isolated and a bit lost, you know, as any new wife or any new mom would be. But at the time, none of my friends was with any military personnel. So I felt quite isolated. And I saw an advert. I mean, I'd heard of the Military Wives Choirs anyway because of the, you know, Gareth Malone put the original choirs together.
Yes.
And I saw a random advert, and I thought, oh, shall I not? And it took me 3 months to build up the confidence.
So you'd lost your confidence as well then from when you stopped, you know, you left university, you graduated, you stopped performing. So you lost your confidence as well then?
I did, yeah, and I suddenly just felt just like, you know, I was just a wife and that was all I did. I just did day-to-day life and I lost Faye.
Yeah.
And I got in touch with Cosford's lead, Kelly Brown, and she encouraged me to go and she offered me loads of support. And I finally went and I walked through the doors and I have never looked back.
Mm-hmm.
That was 4 years ago.
So how many people are in your choir?
At the moment, we've got 37 members.
Gosh.
But only 32 are active at the moment due to, you know, husbands being away and work commitments.
But 32, that's a lot of people.
It is. And our musical director, Jill Hawkes, is absolutely amazing with us.
What do your partners do then within the military?
My husband is in the Army. Mm-hmm. He's now only a full... Well, he was a regular.
Mm-hmm.
He came out and it was too static for him. Couldn't cope type thing. Mm-hmm. And so he went in the reserves. So he's in the reserves now in the British Army.
So you say you've performed a lot before, particularly at university. So you've always been a singer, have you? You've always been performing in some way or another?
Yeah, musical theatre mainly. And that's what we did at uni, a lot of musical theatre, really.
That's my background as well.
Oh, I love musicals.
Yeah, it's good fun. So when you're working with the choir, do you perform for fun or do you put on sort of concerts and things with a view to raising money, or how does it work?
Well, we are a charity and we do paid events. We do charity performances, but the money that we earn that goes into our choir helps pay our musical director, and it pays for music and, you know, rehearsal space and things like that, you know, which is our biggest cost, is our musical director, and she's mm-hmm. worth every penny.
So she's the person that's salaried, but the rest of you sing voluntarily then?
We do, yeah, for the love of it, for the love of coming together as sisters, singing to our heart's content. And we eat a lot of cake. That's quite, you know, on the
top. Oh, I'm joining. Can I join? Where cake's concerned, I'm there. But, I mean, what sort of commitment does this take up in a year, say, for example? How many concerts do you give, and how much work goes into it behind the scenes?
Well, Cosford is a very experienced choir, and we can do any type of gig. So we are quite in high demand. We do usually do one gig a month, and that is, you know, reduced. There was a time when we was doing two or three a month.
And really?
Absolutely. And it was just too much for all of the women to commit to. But I know very much this year our diary is jam-packed still.
We hear a lot about military choirs. Do you know how many there are in the country off the top of your head? I think there's a lot.
There is a lot. All I know is that there's 76 across the UK and overseas.
Well, that's a lot.
A hell of a lot, yeah.
So when did Cosford Choir first begin singing?
Well, we're coming up to our seventh birthday, so we've been running for 7 years, and Kelly Brown, our chair of the choir, was founder, and she discovered there was a need at Cosford for a military choir, and so she put the choir together, and it's been a phenomenal ever since.
She's a very wise lady.
Oh, absolutely. I love her to boots.
How supportive are your military partners for everybody in the choir?
There's a lot of support because, you know, the men or women, you know, they understand. They feel a lot of guilt when they go away for weeks on end and we're left at home worrying and looking after kids and working in houses. And so, you know, my husband often felt a sense of guilt of having to tell me he was going away again.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I told him I was going to go and have a look at the choir, you know, he was so supportive, and he actually did push me. I mean, he drove me there and he was like, go on, you know, you're all going to be the same type of women. So I think our partners are very supportive of the choir, and it's, I mean, our partners often come to gigs, rehearsals, and we're all part of one big family.
Mm. And that's important, isn't it, really, to have that support from your partners as well as your family too?
Yeah, very important.
So do you travel around the country, Faye, or do you go abroad performing, or do you just stick to sort of local venues or local within reason?
The majority of the gigs are within the local community, Shrewsbury, Shropshire way. However, we have travelled to London on many occasions, and we've got a choir member, Leah, who's actually gone to New York. So it's across the community, really, but often our, you know, our patch is usually Cosford, Wolverhampton, Shrewsbury, Telford, Donington, you know, within the Shropshire, Shrewsbury area.
Now, you mentioned earlier on Gareth Malone, and everybody loves Gareth for all the choirs that he starts. But, of course, it started for him with the inception of the Military Wives Choir. Does he actually come and work with all the choirs, or does he, you know, does he sort of crave input from you, although he may not get to visit you all the time, or are you left very much to your own devices?
Gareth is still a very much loved member of the network. I mean, I only met Gareth a couple of weeks ago. He was at Committees Day, because I'm publicity lead at the moment for Cosford Military Wives, and it was Committee Day in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
And Gareth just turned up, and we, you know, I've never met him before, and I was like, oh my God, I'm really starstruck.
He's lovely.
But he's, is very much still part of the network and supports us. He's brilliant.
So now, what's been Cosford's involvement with this up-and-coming film and CD, Military Wives?
Well, unfortunately, I can't tell you our direct involvement
okay.
in the film.
Tell me what you can.
We're under...
Yeah, you're under licence to keep stum.
Yeah, with Lionsgate, we're under strict instructions that we can't tell until the release date, which is the 6th of March.
So it's not long now.
No, all you can know is that we have been involved.
Excellent. And are you able to tell me whether the choir is part of the soundtrack CD as well?
I'm not 100% certain on that, so
okay.
I'm not going to open my mouth in case I get into trouble.
And I mean, the one question that everybody will want to know is, do you actually appear in the film? Are you able to answer that question?
Again... I'm under strict instructions to keep my lips sealed.
It's just you and me and the rest of us here on Friday Night Clive.
No, I know. There's people listening.
we can all draw and deduce our own answers from that, so I won't push it. Now, we've talked about Military Wives. Is there a military sort of men's stroke husbands choir, do you know? Does that such a thing exist?
There is multiple men's choirs, but there isn't, at the moment, a military men's choir. And there may be a need for a military men's choir, but the Military Wives Foundation is just solely for women.
For women, yes. Yeah. It sounds brilliant. So this film's coming out on the 6th of March.
Yeah.
And it can be seen in all major cinemas, I assume.
That's right.
If people listening want to get involved and have a military connection and want to come and join the Military Wives Choirs, how can they actually make that first inquiry?
Well, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can type into the internet, you know, Military Wives Choirs, and you'll go to the foundation page and you can type in Cosford and they'll come up. But we're everywhere. We're not hard to find. You can just simply type in Google, Cosford Military Wives Choir, and we will flag up and the details to get in touch with us.
Oh, it sounds brilliant. And it sounds a really, really good pastime to have as well, and very, very worthwhile.
Very worthwhile. Absolutely.
Brilliant. Well, good luck with the release of the film, if you're in it. And I'm going to play a track now that is from a number of Military Wives choirs that I've got. And in the meantime, I will say Faye Widra from Cosford Military Wives Choir, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Live.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And this is Pack Up Your Troubles. That's the Massed Military Wives Choirs and Pack Up Your Troubles. And that song, incidentally, dates right back to the First World War. It's that old. And before that, you heard Faye Widra from the Cosford Military Wives Choir talking about the choir and their possible involvement with a new film that's coming out on the 6th of March. Now, if you want to find out more about the Military Wives Choirs, even just from a curiosity point of view, or if you have any military connections and you're therefore you'd be eligible to join, you go to their website, militarywiveschoirs.org, militarywiveschoirs.org, and that will take you to their website. You are listening to the Friday Night Clive podcast. If you like what you are hearing, don't forget to subscribe to get the latest instalment at blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. Now, on with this week's episode. Now, Walk All Over Cancer is a fundraising and activity challenge that occurs every year in March in aid of the charity Cancer Research UK. Participants are challenged to a sponsored walk of 10,000 steps every day during the month, and all proceeds from the fundraising are donated to the charity. Now, you might be aware that Cancer Research UK funds research into cancer treatment and prevention across the world, working to develop new cancer drugs and provide the latest cancer information about cancer treatment and prevention to both health professionals and the public as well. And I'm joined on the line now by Alan Peace, who's actually going to undertake this kind of a walk. Hello, Alan.
Good evening, Clive.
Thank you very much for joining me. Tell me a little bit more about what Walk All Over Cancer is.
Well, it's basically a challenge that anyone can undertake to try and achieve 10,000 steps each day, every day through March, and turn it into a fundraiser for Cancer Research UK, pure and simple. Everyone can do it at their own pace, wherever they want to, and however they want to. They can run it if they want.
So tell me about your plan to walk all over cancer, and what inspired you to actually take this charity walk on?
Well, yeah, mine's a wee bit different. I'll be doing it outside of March. I was scheduled to start on the 27th of April, but I'll be walking the whole of the Southwest Coast Path, which is 1,000 kilometres long. I've already done it once anyway, but that was spread over a five-year period. But I had this hankering to do it in one go, which would take around 7 weeks, with my personal target of trying to raise around £10,000 for cancer research. Well, I do a lot of fundraising for cancer research anyway. I have done since 2004 when I first started doing high-altitude treks primarily. I mean, that's taken me around the world to some of the highest mountains in the world.
What inspired you back then in 2004 to start? Did you just think, you know, it's a worthwhile charity, or did something touch you within your life that led you to start?
Well, I started because my wife died of cancer back in 2004.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
It kicked me off anyway. And it was just one of those things. It just continued. I mean, I set myself an initial target of raising £23,000 for cancer research. But that equated to roughly to the height of a mountain in Argentina called Aconcagua, which is almost 23,000 feet high. In the event, I've raised over 43,000. But I want to sort of take it up even higher. You know, it's a bit like a drug, I think, to me. Once you've started it, you can't stop. And it's a very, very worthwhile cause, because almost one person in two is affected by cancer now in this country at some time in their lives. And anything that I can do to further the research to try and find the answer as to why it triggers in some people and not in others, and ideally to prevent it happening in the first place, but also to try and find cures, then if I can do anything to assist that process, then I'm prepared to quite prepared to go the extra mile, shall we say.
Quite literally.
Even with an artificial hip.
Gosh, yeah. That is good going. Now, you talk about the Southwest Coastal Path. For those of us that are not too familiar with that, where do you start and where do you end?
Right, you start at Minehead.
Oh, I know Minehead.
In Somerset, and which entails me taking a coach trip down to there to start with. And then you go all the way down the North Somerset coast, North Devon, Cornwall, round Land's End, the southern Cornwall coast, southern Devon coast, and into Dorset, and finish up basically at Poole Harbour just before Bournemouth, which is saying is a total of 1,000 kilometres, 630 miles.
Crumbs. So,
and it involves over 35,000 metres of up as well, because you're constantly going from sea level onto the top of cliffs and then back down to sea level again.
Mm.
So it's not just a straightforward level walk by any means. It's a serious undertaking. But because I've done it once already, I know what's involved. And this time round, I'll actually be backpacking it as well. So it'd just be a case of camping wherever I finish up each day.
Now, you have to do at least 10,000 steps every day. So, yep. I mean, we all take different sized steps. For you,
yep.
Do you have any idea how far you walk in linear miles, if you like, when to achieve 10,000 steps?
That would be around about 5 miles, thereabouts.
Right. So there's going to be a lot of steps.
Oh, yes. I'll be doing something like 25,000 steps a day.
Yeah. So, I mean, miles-wise, how far will you go per day on average, do you think? Have you set yourself a target?
It varies depending upon the terrain at the time, because some days are much heavier than others. I mean, some days there'll be an ascent of around about 1,600 metres,
mm-hmm.
in addition to the linear distance. Other days there might only be 700 or 800 metres of ascent. So it does vary, anything from 10 miles up to around 15.
So what support will you have while you're on your walk then? Because you're obviously not doing this totally on your own.
My own two legs.
So you are doing this on your own then?
My wife has sort of suggested that she may be able to come out for maybe a week or so at some time,
mm.
and join me. Whether she will do much walking, but she'd be like support crew, which she, my long-suffering wife now, you know, I mean, yes, yeah, she is very, very good. She puts up with a lot of my crazy idiosyncrasies and stupid things that I get up to.
So where will you be staying along your walk? I mean, are you camping or have you got houses or something that you can go to?
My little one-man tent. I will... without wishing to sound too crude, if I begin to smell a little bit too much, I will drop into the youth hostel occasionally,
mm-hmm.
so I can have a shower and get some washing done. But in the main, it will be under canvas.
Sure. Now, you mentioned earlier on that you've had a hip replacement. How does this affect you walking, and have you had to sort of put any extra checks and balances in place, really, to maintain your own welfare?
Having my hip replaced, which was almost exactly 4 years ago now, gave me my life back, quite honestly. And I have to pay tribute to Russell's Hall Hospital for that, and the orthopaedic people there. They did a superb job for me. Because I was starting to feel it after a day climbing, you know, usually with my steps on or whatever, mm-hmm. I was beginning to feel it. And I spoke with a remarkable gentleman called Ken Ledward, who, like me, he was an ex-Outward Bound climbing instructor. And he'd had both his hips replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And 6 months after he had his first one done, he was cross-country skiing in the Alps.
Really?
And I thought, I need to speak with him. he gave me so much information. I thought, yep, that's it. I'm going to go and get mine done. So I had a bit of a discussion with the consultants at Russell's Hall, because they wanted to put me onto painkillers and a walking stick initially.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, whoa, 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 no, I don't do tablets and I'm certainly not walking around with a walking stick.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what I wanted and they could see that, so they called me in, did it. And 2 months later, I actually did 130 miles of the Southwest Coast Path anyway. With the artificial hip, which was as a tester, if you like, and that was great.
Well, that's extremely good going, isn't it, really, when you think about it? But, I mean, you must have been very fit to undertake this. How have you trained for it, and how do you keep in shape for it?
Healthy eating.
Mm-hmm.
I don't smoke. Mm-hmm. I don't drink. I get regular exercise anyway. When I'm in serious training, which is sort of starting now in actual fact, I will just load 15 kilos into my rucksack and go and yomp up and down the Reekin four times, which gets you sort of hill fit, if you like. My original doctor, he's retired now, but he summed it up when I had to have a medical for insurance, again, because I was going off on an expedition to, I think it was to Mongolia, that one, and I needed to have a full medical. And his quote on the medical form he filled in, "Alan is the fittest pensioner I've ever known." and I thought, that's all right, I can live with that.
Absolutely. So, have you set yourself a target for the money that you want to raise for charity?
Yeah, I'm hoping for 10,000 with this one. At the moment, it's approaching 2,000. And obviously, I haven't been started. So if I can put a plug in there, if
by
people
all means
would like to see about sponsoring, all they need to do is go on to fundraise.cancerresearchuk.org,
mm-hmm,
and then just type in my name and it'll bring up the Just Giving page, which is specific to cancer research.
Yes.
It's not the general Just Giving page. It's Cancer Research's own giving page. And obviously that's the best way to actually do it.
Super. So that's fundraise.cancerresearchuk.org. And then, as you say, if they pop your name in, all your details will come up.
It'll bring up, it brings all the details up and it'll bring me up straight away.
Give me some examples of some of the other walks you've done, because you said, you know, you've done quite a lot. So where else have you walked to?
In terms of sort of high stuff, I mean, I've been to Aconcagua in Argentina twice. I've been to Elbrus in Russia and climbed that. I've been on Mont Blanc in the Alps twice. I've done Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. I've done Mount Kutin in Mongolia, and Toubkal in Morocco. We regularly go out to the Dolomites and get on the Via Ferratas there in particular,
mm-hmm,
which are absolutely stunning. I mean, I just love the mountains. I mean, I've been a climber for almost 60 years, and ever since my form teacher at school started taking groups of us away into the mountains, and mm-hmm, I've loved the mountains ever since. So, I mean, I was a climbing instructor with Outward Bound and at a mountain centre in Wales, in Wales, and also up in Derbyshire. So, again, it's just something that's in your blood.
I think as well that wherever you go, as you say, whether you've been, you know, abroad at mountains or even round, as you say, that the North Devon coast, there's plenty of superb scenery. So even if you have a day when perhaps it's a little bit tough, you're actually in a very nice office.
Oh,
aren't
yeah,
you really?
Absolutely.
And I'm sure it never escapes your mind what you're actually doing it for as well.
Yeah. I mean, in this country in particular, we are very, very fortunate. I mean, particularly where I live in Wombourne now. I mean, I walk out of my door, I'm into countryside.
Mm.
And you can get into the countryside in this country, and there is some wonderful countryside. It isn't necessary to go abroad all the time. Yeah, I mean, I did the Pembrokeshire Coast Path last July in one go. Now, that's about just over 200 miles. And I did that in one go and didn't suffer any ill effects at all from that. That was a superb trip, and not dissimilar to the South West Coast Path as well. So... to get out into the countryside in this country is relatively easy,
yes,
and can be so rewarding. I actually feel a little bit sorry for people who, for whatever reason, can't get out into the countryside,
mm,
and maybe can't appreciate it because they haven't been as fortunate as I have in being able to spend a lot of time in the country.
So what will be your next challenge then after this? Have you set one already?
I've got to be careful here because I'm fairly certain my wife will be listening to this broadcast. and I'm not sure whether I should actually give that information.
But you are planning something, then. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
I'm always planning something because there are mountains that I would love to go back to in actual fact. Anyway, because there's too many mountains and not enough time, quite honestly. Because every day you have to make the most of it, because we only have one chance at life. And I think it's incumbent on all of us to make every moment that we have count for doing whatever it is that people enjoy doing. You know, not everyone would enjoy what I actually do. But the one thing that I do actually want to do, which Debbie would be involved in it as well a little bit, would be to do the West Highland Way up in Scotland, which is a little bit wilder, if you like. So, but again, I do know that area reasonably well because I lived up there for 3 years. So I got tired of driving to Scotland twice a year for holidays, so I decided to go and live up there.
Beautiful part of the world. So just remind me the date that you're actually going to start this walk then, Alan.
Right. I should have been starting on the 27th of April, and finishing around about the 16th of June. But obviously, because of the current situation, that has had to be delayed. You know, I have to be a little bit sensible sometimes. So I'm now scheduling, all things being equal and providing we get some normality return, it will actually take place now in the autumn. I'm scheduling now to try and go out late August. I mean, it will happen at some time, but it would be foolish for me to sort of even try and do it at the moment because a lot of support facilities are closing down anyway and have been closed down.
Yes.
And you've got to have some support mechanisms in place, which at this point in time, just are not going to be there. I know that.
Yeah.
You know, cafes and the like being closed, I would need to be able to call into cafes. Otherwise, I'm going to have to carry a great deal of food because some of the stretches of the coast path, you have to carry your own food anyway.
Yes.
But that will simply add to the weight of the pack, which will be heavy enough as it
absolutely is. Alan, will you come back and talk to me again in the autumn, and if you're able to come in and see me, then that would be great. I'd love to find out how you get on.
Yeah, I would love to.
Super. Alan, thank you so much. Very best of luck with your walk, and thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Live.
Yep, my pleasure.
That's your lot for this episode. You can catch the show live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you love our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast, presented by Clive Payne, production by Andy Caddick and Alex Griffiths.